The Placing You First podcast begins in less than 20 seconds.
Visit crcgroup.com to subscribe, download our award-winning tools and intel articles that help you stay aware of emerging issues and trends, or get a snapshot of the insurance marketplace with our industry-leading Ready Indexes. You'll find it all on crcgroup.com under Tools and Intel.
Hello, everyone. Today, Scott and I are joined by some of the best healthcare brokers we know. We've got Lee McClure, a senior healthcare broker from CRC Group's Birmingham, Alabama office. We've also got Truett Taylor, an SVP and broker with our Jackson, Mississippi office. And finally, last but not least, we have special guest Rebecca Edelman, founder of Edelman Claims Management, an organization providing claims and litigation management services for Future Care RRG, a risk retention group that offers professional, general, and employee benefits liability, as well as other supplemental coverages for senior care providers across 32 different states.
This is the Placing You First podcast from CRC Group.
This podcast features news and insights from a vast knowledge base of over 5,100 associates
who write more than $35 billion in premium annually.
Plus, we give you the latest information on what's happening at CRC.
This is the Placing You First podcast.
And now the hosts of the podcast, Amanda Knight and Scott Gordon.
Well, I think it's safe to say we've stacked the podcast today, Scott.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you all for being here. So let's jump in with sort of a Reader's Digest version of what the senior living market is like in early 2024. Each of you kind of, can you give us a one sentence summary that sort of sums up the market right now?
Sure. This is Lee McClure. I'll go ahead. I think right now from a one sentence standpoint, I believe it's very unpredictable. You know, a lot of new entrants in the marketplace. We feel like renewals are very challenging. Just rates and just the whole overall process is very unpredictable.
And I would tend to agree with Lee. I'd probably use the word volatile. It's unpredictable and volatile. The claims are still there, but there are new market entrants. And I think everybody's just trying to get their hands around what the claims are going to look like coming out of COVID and what this new competition is going to do to the terms and the pricing as we go forward into 24.
Yeah, this is Rebecca. Thanks again for having me. So from my perspective as a lawyer and a claims manager, my sort of one sentence on what the marketplace is like now, the general marketplace, is it's risky litigation business. I think it's a little risky in the litigation world, which then lends itself to some proactive claims management. So,
well, and, you know, talking about claims and the fact that the marketplace is, you know, a little volatile, for lack of a better word, we know that senior living facilities are under pressure, right? They've got rising costs, they've got staff shortages, and in an effort to reduce expenses, some facilities may be looking for an alternative liability option. New entrants to the market may offer some lower prices than an incumbent carrier. However, is a new carrier always the right long-term solution? What do agents and insurers need to consider before making a change like that in an effort to garner some short-term savings?
So I think I can take that one to start. I mean, the first thing is price is just one of the metrics that you want to consider when you're considering insurance for your senior living facility. The next one is the terms and conditions of the policy, because they all differ. Everybody's policy is totally different. It's written individually for each individual carrier. And there's a lot of restrictions that are being put on there. So just because it's the cheapest doesn't always make it the best. And then the third is really the longevity and the claim handling ability of the carriers. How long have they been in the market? What's their experience been in handling claims? And what's their experience going to be? You know, what's your experience going to be with them handling your claim? Because it's all good to save a few dollars on the front end, but if it costs you a lot in the long term, you know, that's really not the best option for you. So,
yeah, I think, you know, Truett nailed it there. You know, to me, there's a lot of value in understanding who your claims adjuster is, the process of claims reporting. You can't really put a price on that. And when you have to reinvent that on your account executive level, a lot of things can get missed. The other thing I would add too, and I think Rebecca could chime in on this, would be, anytime you go with a new entrant or a new market, they've never had a defense verdict. So they really don't know how to attack a senior housing claim or even what the process could look like until you're there and now you're spending more money defending something that may have been settled with your previous carrier because there was rapport and there was, you know, a rhythm to, you know, being with someone for an extended amount of time. And then, like you had mentioned, you know, certain mechanics of the policy, you know, anytime you change carriers, you may assume that you have certain functions, but don't. And that's where you can realize that the cost to save money up front ends up costing more because you didn't have certain luxuries.
Yeah, for me, this falls into, this is Rebecca, this falls into penny wise, pound foolish. I think what I have seen with our risk retention group is that it really is about subject matter expertise and being able to align the mission and the vision of your senior living, you know, portfolio with your claims group. To really get to know who you are. It's a very complex ecosystem senior living is. And so really to sort of a short range look at, you know, saving a few dollars on the bottom line versus the long range view of how do we proactively mitigate risk? How do we work on our claims and try and use the claim, you know, the claim expertise that we have in senior living, for example, both from a legal standpoint, from a risk management standpoint, to, you know, help manage all of those resources with a long view. I don't think this can be a short view. Senior living isn't a short view, it never has been. So I think that's making sure that, you know, there's proactive risk mitigation strategies in place that are tried, that are true, and that you've got subject matter expertise, you know, in the, you know, with the carrier on the claim side. Those would be the key factors that I think should be considered.
Well, and this will be a good jumping off from that and maybe a little redundancy here. But in the last few years, especially the senior living sector has evolved a bit, especially post-pandemic. So what trends are emerging around the data underwriters want to see, submission requirements, exclusions, or other areas that agents need to be aware of?
I mean, I think the biggest thing we're seeing right now from a submission standpoint is there's a lot of emphasis on staffing levels. I mean, obviously, we've talked about that really since COVID, but, you know, a lot of underwriters are really focused on the staffing levels. You know, people that are overworked, and there's a large, you know, patient-to-staff ratio, then the assumption is at some point something's going to be missed, which could obviously, you know, turn into an adverse event. I think financials are becoming a larger requirement now, especially if an insured is looking to take on a larger deductible to make sure the facility is solvent. And then, unfortunately, you know, the 10-plus years of loss data, which is really challenging if they've changed hands multiple times. From an exclusion standpoint, we're seeing markets put up class action exclusions. I think all of that stemmed from COVID potentially. But you've got markets that, you know, there is no wiggle room there. And then depending on the market, you have people that may sublimit certain adverse events, whether it's a slip and fall, bed sores, pressure ulcers, certain scenarios like that.
In addition to the kinds of trends we're seeing around what kind of data underwriters want to see, are we seeing trends when it comes to litigation or claims? Like, are we seeing claims based on lack of staff or other issues related to that?
You know, I think we're seeing more and more, if we look at it from the 10,000 foot view, the trend is really about corporate liability. So we're moving from the direct operator, care provider, and zooming out to corporate exposure. And then baked into corporate exposure is corporate management, is private equity, is staffing, budgets. So you're sort of got this sort of large, you get this focus on how corporate management, corporate compliance, and corporate liability is, you know, what their operations look like. I think we're seeing more and more of that. And management also, and I think that goes to sort of underwriting, you know, underwriting, making sure we're underwriting to good management. And, you know, I'm seeing trends in assisted living. I'm seeing more and more assisted living cases. The population in assisted living has changed a lot. And we're seeing more and more on the assisted living and memory care side post-pandemic. Of course, we all know we're seeing much higher verdicts. So I think post-pandemic, you know, our juries, the people who are making the decisions around these cases seem to be much angrier. And, you know, senior living has been the focus of sort of poor reputational issues anyway. But I think post-pandemic, it's really escalated. So I think we're trying to overcome these massive hurdles when it comes to reputational issues and senior living. So those are some of the trends. Much more medication-era stuff, a lot more defendants in cases where it used to just be the senior living operator. We're seeing physicians, we're seeing, you know, pharmacy, we're seeing, you know, rehab, we're seeing hospice. So we're seeing sort of the whole ecosystem as a set of defendants. So we've got sort of some new game plans, new playbooks since the pandemic, I think.
And I mean, I would add to that, she hit on it, some of the private equity stuff, but there's been an abnormal amount of merger and acquisition activity after the pandemic. There's just been a lot of, like a lot of industries, there's been a lot of consolidation in the senior living space. And so from a placement perspective, we are getting a significant amount more questions from our insurance carrier underwriters, trying to determine exactly who owns the facility, what experience they have, where they came from, what other facilities they've managed or owned. We're getting a lot more questions related to, all right, not just what is the name of the facility, but who is the person or persons that I'm insuring? Who are the people running this facility?
Well, with those trends in mind, you know, sort of those, like you said, the 10,000 foot view, these big macro trends with more defendants, you know, hitting claims that sort of a wider claims going to have a wider ripple effect than maybe ever before. With that in mind, how can senior living facilities navigate that claims process effectively to try to ensure a timely resolution and minimize, you know, disruptions to the way they operate?
Yeah, I think it all starts with, I think from our perspective, as the claims management group for Future Care, our goal is to stay as proactive as possible and to know as much about the internal enterprise risk management of our clients, understand their, you know, their management's internal policies, procedures, and protocols, and so that we can really help them proactively on the risk side. Number one, in terms of claims management, is to, again, you got to make sure that the folks who are handling your claims have subject matter expertise. It's so critically important. It's a very, very complex claim, senior living is, and continues to become more complex. So, and so I think that's kind of some of the keys, and just make sure you've got great communication with your claims managers. Make sure you involve everyone. Break down the silos in your own organization, in your own senior living organization. Break down those silos so you are getting internally feedback and involvement in the claims process from everyone who appreciates and understands that risk belongs to everyone.
Yeah, Rebecca nails it there. This is Lee. And I mean, the biggest thing that we tell our brokers is it's okay to report anything you feel like could give rise to a claim, because where we see insurers get in trouble is, it's a locally owned property. They know all the residents. They assume nothing's ever going to come of a potential situation, and then it does. And then they've either failed to report in a timely manner, and then everybody's kind of backpedaling to honor, you know, the filed claim. So if anything happens, we always say report. If nothing happens, it doesn't negatively affect you. It doesn't even go on the loss run until there's either defense filed or there's indemnity that may be triggered. But to me, it's always a good steward to your insurance carrier and your claims team to always report. That way you're not missing anything.
You know, we're talking about handling the claims and making sure that the claims process runs smoothly. And we talked about the new entrants and some of the new entrants into the market, some of the evolution of the market. I think it's always important to have a broker or an agent that understands the market and isn't going to, you know, we go back to, you know, what Rebecca said, penny wise, pound full, place you with a carrier that doesn't have a claims apparatus with an experience to handle a complex senior living claim.
Right.
And to add to that too, Scott, you've got to make sure that your attorneys that are being assigned to defend these cases really understand how to defend senior living. These are not medical malpractice cases. They're not general liability cases. You know, they are very unique and have these qualities that are very, very unique. So, again, you know, understanding leverage points, all of that is very critically important on the claim side, I think.
You know, whether it's placing business or working through a claim at CRC group, we pride ourselves on being, you know, specialists that can get the job done for our retail partners. So how can partnering with a CRC group producer help agents with healthcare or senior living industry insurance?
So I think first it's the expertise, right? So for most of us, this is predominantly all we do all day, every day is handle placements for senior living operators. So with that comes, you know, what I'm going to call unparalleled market access and products that they're going to get from us that they can't get anywhere else. They get the expertise. And so what they get, it really is the guidance and the specialty to know that when they bring a risk to us, it's going to be placed with the proper carrier at the proper price with the proper terms and conditions in a nutshell.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Truett. I think, you know, obviously working with a large wholesaler like CRC, you know, we do have a lot of leverage in the marketplace. So I do think anytime you can partner with a specialist, in addition to a retail broker who also specializes in the senior housing vertical, I think it presents well to the marketplace. And I think, you know, certain underwriters see that as a favorable combination. And I think we're able to utilize both sides of the fence. Like, hey, this is coming from this retailer, this wholesaler. And then, you know, we also get the privilege of utilizing the best of the best underwriters. Underwriters who are very broker-minded, who want to write business just as much as we do. I think once you, you know, have that partnership and that expertise, it shows. It shows in a way that, you know, CRC's healthcare practice group writes $700 million in gross written premium, with 45% of that being senior housing driven. I don't think anybody in the country can say that.
Those are some great numbers. Now, Rebecca, I know this wasn't on the outline, but you know these guys that we've got on the podcast today. Do you vouch for them?
So I've known the guys at CRC. I go way back with Rusty and have been, you know, I've been in the senior living industry for 35 years. So this is, you know, this is where I've spent really all my time as a defense lawyer, as a claims manager, as a risk eliminator, I like to say. So yeah, I've known CRC for decades. And, you know, the reason that Future Care has aligned itself with CRC is because of, you know, their expertise and their, you know, connectability in the marketplace and how they really do deliver and how it intersects with our mission and vision of how they really deliver, the finest, really the finest product and services. So I think, you know, that's, there was just a total alignment of our value sets in senior living in choosing the, you know, our broker partners. So, but yeah, I've known them all. I think Truett, I've known since he was a baby. These are like little kids. Truett and me are children compared to. So anyway, thank you for asking, Amanda. These relationships are, they are the most important drivers of quality, really.
Yeah, in all reality, Rebecca and I probably did meet almost 20 years ago. So I don't know who that's telling on more, she or I, but it's been at least 20 years of relationship. So
It has.
I think that says great things about both Future Care RRG and about CRC Group. When we say we have long-lasting, thriving marketplace relationships, we back that up. And you guys just did that. You know, you've known each other for 20 years. So that says something to me. And I think it says something to our listeners, too.
Yeah, we've got – CRC has a deep bench.
No doubt.
Yeah. We've got a lot of knowledge here.
All right, Scott, take us home.
If anyone has anything else to add, otherwise we can get to the fun stuff. Do you guys want to answer some rapid fire questions?
Ooh, sure. What are those?
Okay, well, this is just a little quick thing we do. We just have a rapid fire where you just answer the first thing that comes into your mind. There's no right or wrong answers.
No, right or wrong.
We'll go alphabetical by last name. Yeah, we'll go Rebecca, Lee, and Truett. First one, this is pitched to Rebecca first. If you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, just one meal, what would it be?
Vegetarian omelet.
Healthy, good choice.
Lee?
A mom to be steak for sure.
We got the vegetarian and the carnivore. All right, Truett, you're up.
I'm gonna fall in the middle and say spaghetti.
Oh.
Nice. We had some good answers. Number two, what's your biggest irrational phobia and why?
What's yours, Amanda? Get us rolling.
All my teeth falling out at one time.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh.
I have nightmares.
Amanda, that is the craziest thing.
I know.
That is mine. I have dreams about that.
Me too. They
coming
say
out.
They say it's a stress dream, but I have nightmares where all
they
my
do.
Fall out
they
of
do.
Time.
Well, if that's the case, then we're in the same boat.
Yes,
all my
we are.
And my hair. And my hair.
I know. What about you guys? Do you guys have any weird stress dream / phobias?
Mine's probably missing a flight, oversleeping for an early flight.
Oh.
For whatever reason, anytime I travel, I don't sleep well and I'm constantly waking up.
Same.
So it's just more of those like, ooh, I'm sleeping longer than I need to be, but yet, you know, it's still early in the morning. So.
Yep.
True.
Are you fearless?
I don't know about fearless. I will say, you know, one of my phobias is probably heights. So you can't tell this from the podcast, but I'm not very tall, so I don't like being far off the ground.
Me neither, Truett.
Wow. Okay. Now this last one, I'm going to expand a little bit on this one. If you could time travel, when would you go and where would you go?
Oh, goodness gracious, everybody. I'd go back to 1976 and I would go to Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio, in this big amusement park where I would spend days with my dad, who has since passed. So that is what I would do. I would go back and spend time with him. That's what I would
do.
That's
a good answer.
That's sweet.
Anybody else want to time travel?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, mine would probably go back in a period of time that, you know, you just read about, whether that's, you know, I don't know. I hadn't really thought about time travel. Probably just to see what life was like, but there's not a certain time period that I've thought about. But
I can tell you where I don't want to go. I don't know where I want to go in the past, but you know, I have zero interest in like time traveling too far into the future. I feel like maybe I don't want to know.
I was gonna say nobody wants to go to the future anymore.
Right.
Nope. Just surprise me.
I mean, I was going to say, I had trouble getting logged into the podcast, so I probably am not allowed this in the future.
Well, thank you all for being here. Even when you had a little technical difficulty, we appreciate your patience. Rebecca, we also really enjoyed having you as a special guest with us today.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
If you're a listener, we appreciate you too. Providing current insights into the marketplace is just one more way CRC Group is placing you first. Don't forget to subscribe and share.
Are you ready to take your career to the next level?
Join Team CRC to gain access to best-in-class tools, data, exclusive programs, and more. Send your resume to resumes@crcgroup.com and read testimonials from our recent hires on LinkedIn. Search for CRC.